Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning, 97.1. That's more like it. Welcome in on a Victory Monday. It feels so good to say it. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Dustin Fioco on the updates, and a nice long highlight montage as the Lions put a 50 burger up on Ben Johnson.
Yep. Nice long montage. Everything you said. Plus today we get the locker room speech by Dan Campbell, which we have so welcome and so much come to enjoy. It just was a thing of beauty yesterday. Absolutely beautiful.
It's only fitting that a week ago we came in and said, boy, that was terrible. What was the worst part? That we flipped the script this morning. John, what was the best part? Because you have no shortage of things to pull from. And I imagine over the course of 4 hours, TJ Lang will join us for the last one that will hit all of it. But where do you want to start?
So I'll start with where my eyes always go. And a huge question mark. And not everything, when we say this, not every single problem is solved. It wasn't a perfect game. Just like last week, it's never as bad. When you watch the film, this week, it's never as good. But the offensive line. No sacks, and they rushed for over 177 yards. That, to me, was more of what we expect. And here's what they have to do. It is taken with a grain of salt because it's at home. What did we say? Communication would be much easier at home. Didn't appear that there were more missed assignments, or at least not ones that were glaringly visible. There's still going to be some. You got young players in there. Even vets are going to, you know, mess up every once in a while. But we'll get a chance to see what they learned from that first trip to Green Bay and then following it next week with a trip on Monday night to Baltimore. We'll talk about that the rest of the week. But I thought the offensive line, especially not necessarily that first drive. I know that there were some successful runs, but when they got to the end of the first quarter, second quarter, certainly in the third, you started to see some of those double teams. You started to see more push. You just saw an offensive line that felt like it was gelling. And they were passing off games in the passing attack. Still a little bit of pressure. They gave up no sacks, but there were still some pressures. And that's going to happen every once in a while. But I thought Jared Goff handled it well. But the best thing for me, the most beautiful thing for me, was the way that offensive line played.
The best part of that game is that it reinforced whose offense this is. I think there was some fear after week one, and with him in the building in week two, it could have been an easy storyline of, well, Ben Johnson stole all the good plays.
No. Nope.
And the truth
John Morton's offense.
John Morton's offense. Dan Campbell's offense, John.
But he's not the coordinator. He's not the one calling plays. What are you talking about?
But what I really liked, that it's funny, you go to the offensive line, it's where it all starts. Jared Goff is the headline, but you don't get that Goff game unless you protect him. He was sacked zero times. He had five touchdowns and five incompletions. Think about it. You have as many touchdowns as incomplete passes.
Yep.
And that's what this football team's got to be. They worked backwards to get the run game going. They started with hard play action. And listen to Dan Campbell a little bit before the game. That's what he said. He goes, we've got to get the run game going at some point. But if they're going to stack the box or if they're going to run commit, you know, we're not going to be stubborn about it. And I think that's what a great offense is they're balanced. They threw, they ran, they did whatever they needed to do, but they got where they needed a little backwards. They started throwing, and then it softened the run game up, but they were able to get where they wanted all game long and drop 50 points.
And in that same, I don't know if it was the same answer that he was giving. It might have been another one. I was listening in pregame as well because I was on the way to pick up Jack from practice, and he said, you know, thinking about Dennis Allen's defense, you know, there's a lot of man. First down, second down, third down, they will sprinkle in some zone, and we just, when they do, we've got to be able to hit it. The second pass for J-Mo, zone coverage, and all of a sudden, he's coming across the middle, and there's no one there, and they had him covered by a linebacker. That, to me, is a great example of how smart or at least how experienced Jared Goff is. To be able to recognize it, and that's the thing about that at that level in the NFL, it always comes down to one or two mistakes. Now, there's more in this game for the Bears, and there's more big plays for the Lions, but you've got to capitalize on some of those quote-unquote mistakes. And if you're going to gamble defensively, bring some guys, and if you're going to be in man, okay, well, hey, do we have the fastest guy on somebody else? Okay, let's see if we can take a shot downfield. They did in a zone. Like, if you've got a linebacker that's carrying him across the middle, he can't stay with J-Mo. You have to have a quarterback that recognizes it after the snap, because they did a great job of disguising some of their coverages. Once he recognizes it, you could almost see it on his face. Like, he knew exactly where he was going to go with the ball and that it was going to be a big play.
Their offense fired on all cylinders, right? Both backs get in the end zone. St. Brown gets in the end zone. J-Mo gets in the end zone. They threw it to a tight end in the end zone this time, Brock Wright. Everybody ate on this offense. I mean, you score 52 points, of course, everybody's going to get involved. But it just shows they're a balanced offense. They can take what the defense gives them. That was a throwback game. That was a game from 2023 and 2024. That was a game, you could have told me Ben Johnson was still calling the plays, which I think is a huge relief to people who were panicking after week one.
Well, and it's here's where you think, okay, well, this is, the creativity is still there. When you hand the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown in the backfield, like we didn't see that last year. We saw it 2 years ago, and we thought, oh, you know, they're gonna use him in a lot of different ways. I like seeing wrinkles like that. Now, you're not gonna hand the ball to Amon. He's not gonna be a part of the running backs group.
No.
But every once in a while, here you go.
Second drive of the game. They had the big pass play to St. Brown down to the one, mm-hmm. and then Montgomery finished it. If people go back and look on that long play to St. Brown, great job by Graham Glasgow and Tate Ratledge sharing and shedding in the pass pro.
Yeah, handing off twists.
Yes, and then the very next play, they're at the goal line, and those two get a nice push up front. And again, you're not trying to create 4 yards at the goal line, but they got a whole yard and a half, which is all David Montgomery needed to get in the end zone. It was just back-to-back plays of interior offensive line play looking so much better in both pass and run. Then you're up, you know, 14-7. The other play in the first half to me was right before the end of the half, where the Bears are walking into the locker room thinking, we got away with one, only to have time put back on the clock,
yeah,
and the Lions go up 2 touchdowns. And from there, they did not look back. It got ugly.
It did, and I know everybody was looking for ways to jump on Ben Johnson, but for him to send his guys to the locker room, which is kind of a great move.
Yeah, he goes, hey, the refs told me end of half.
Yeah, go to the locker room. But then to have to bring your guys back out, and then they show it on you know, like on the big screen where everybody is saying, hey, come on back. Come on back.
Apparently, Jahmyr Gibbs was like miming like a lasso and like trying to reel them in tug of war style. Look, the Lions had a great day. They got after it. We've hit the offense, but there's a lot that we haven't even talked about. Both safeties force turnovers. Mm-hmm. They had 4 stops, including a couple on downs as a team. Aiden Hutchinson gets his first sack. Marcus Davenport, while he was healthy, recorded a sack in the game. They had 4 from that front.
And Isaac Tesla, I think he just is of the belief that he only needs one hand.
We got to ask Dan if he's allowed to use 2.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be even more dangerous once he starts using both hands.
So last week, I didn't see it this morning, when they did, you know, the top 10, he was number 1 with that touchdown against Green Bay. Now, it kind of was a little bit overshadowed by the fact that they stunk in that game. I wonder if he's number 1 2 weeks in a row. Because that was an unbelievable catch.
I think last week's might have been better.
Well, because it was a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think that's what he said after the game. He goes, it's hard to compare him, but the one that's a touchdown, I'm always going to put ahead. Mm-hmm. A couple ticket texts, then we'll get to the phone calls today.
And it was his first.
And, yeah.
Never forget that one.
Ticket textures. Guys, we scored 52, and I walked away thinking we could have had 60. Yep. It says, these young guys got to see what it looks like when you play to the standard. That's huge to see how much better we've gotten in just a couple weeks' time, and we're going to find out even more when they head to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Great example of why not to overreact, guys. All the talking heads overreacted, with the exception of the one guy who actually played sports.
Well, you get a chance to get better.
What am I being accused of overreacting? Is that what that ticket text is saying?
I mean, you have
did I cancel the season?
You have an entire segment
that's fair.
Dedicated to it. So
we'll do that at 7:02. And how about this one? The best part, Underwood for Heisman, the bad, Davenport hurt again. By the way, we're not going to spend any time on Michigan today because the Lions win, but I'm just really proud of you guys saving all your good plays for your toughest non-con opponent. Really good stuff.
I kind of figured you were going to say that, and no, you know what? Yeah, thank you. I don't really feel like I need to comment too much on that. It's just, hey, when it's not there, go ahead and run it, which he did.
Or they learned from the mistakes of holding the playbook back, which Biff Poggi admitted to in the postgame.
He sure did, and he called him
Batman. I know. I can't wait to interview him later today. I am going to ask him what his favorite superhero is.
It's a natural follow-up. All right, guys, best part of the Lions win. It's a much-needed flip of the script from last week. It's 97-1.
Hey, America's favorite place to watch all these great moments in Detroit sports is Stadium Swim. It's located at the Circuit Resort and Casino. It's Detroit in Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen located at Circuit Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircleLasVegas.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One big party at Ford Field on Sunday. We got open lines early today. Good morning, 97-1. Lions flipped the script. Everything that went wrong in week one, they cleaned up a lot and won convincingly in week two. We asked you for the best part of that. Best part of that performance, 248-539-9797. And last week, there was a lot of bad. This week, there was no shortage of good. You can highlight Jared Goff, but it starts giving him time. Mm-hmm. You could highlight the offensive line. You could highlight the ground game. You could highlight individual players on that offense. All of them seemingly had good days. Defensively, they force a fumble, a pick, a couple turnover on downs, four sacks.
Yep.
And they didn't let Chicago mount a comeback. The big drive before the end of the half, Tesla's one-handed catch. And then in the second half, they just went downhill. Like, John, after Caleb Williams' interception, Detroit scored on the next six possessions of the game.
I know. And on that play, too, watching it going, because we all wanted Hutch to get his first sack before he had gotten one. And I thought for sure that was the one. And I'm sitting there going, how do you not? I'm screaming at the TV, Hutch, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden he throws an interception. I'm like, hey, nice job. Great pressure. Throw interception.
But that's Caleb Williams in a nutshell. That play.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he avoids the sack.
Because of his great ability.
And then his brain just shuts down and he throws it into no man's land.
Because of his inability.
Right. And he's always played off script. If you watched him at USC, he won the Heisman Trophy. A lot of what he did was the play would break down and he would razzle dazzle. And it's a lot of backyard football.
In college, you can get away with that.
Yeah, and if you're Mahomes, you can in the NFL. But there's only one Patrick Mahomes, and it's not something Caleb Williams is going to get away with very often in this league. So what happens is he's going to have to unlearn a lot of those bad habits. And he's not there right now, and the Lions took advantage of it.
No, they certainly did. And it was just beautiful to watch him be under duress, for the Lions to be able to get those four sacks, for both fronts, offensive and defensive lines, to play much better. Now, they still gave up over 100 yards on the ground, but they were pretty consistent up front by being able to defeat double teams, or at least stand blockers up so that your playmakers, which were our Brian Branch, Jack Campbell, Alex Anzalone, make some plays.
Tex says, don't get too high, people. The real test is next week. Lions players know that.
No question.
TD celebration with the fake fumble was the best thing I've ever seen that had to hurt Ben so bad. Well, it wasn't on a touchdown. It was after that interception, right? Kirby Joseph then ran into the end zone and recreated stumble bum.
Yeah.
That was
beautiful.
You can't tell me it wasn't personal. Let's get to Q in Detroit. Q, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing? This is a great Monday.
It is. Much better than last Monday, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And honestly, I never really felt worried, even when we lost to the Packers. And then seeing that game against the Commanders, I know we shouldn't say, oh, the Packers really that good, but they are really that good. You know, that defense is good. But when I look at that game against the Packers last week, we got in the red zone four times. It wasn't like we couldn't move the ball. We just couldn't punch it in. So, you know, when you look at the way the Lions played against the Bears, it was like a boxer tune-up fight getting ready for a heavyweight fight next week against the Ravens. And we got a knockout in our tune-up fight, so we got to be ready for this big-time heavyweight fight against the Ravens because it's going to be a big one.
You're right. It's on the road. It's Monday night.
Going there and win.
Big stage. Well, you certainly feel a lot better about it today than you did, you know, 24 hours ago.
Yeah. I mean, to follow along with his analogy, you feel like you got a puncher's chance.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, but yeah. That's what a game like that will do. Now, there's still a lot of work, and this one was at home. We know all of the advantages of being at home. You've got to find a way to go on the road and get a win. And if there's anything that carries over from last year, they were really good on the road last year, but it wasn't in environments like Baltimore, Kansas City. I know the Cincinnati game seems a little bit different now. And maybe the Kansas City game does to some. It doesn't to me. It's still Mahomes. And I'm the one that always says, you know, Goff doesn't lose to Mahomes. But that one is always going to be tough.
The Chiefs are one of the overreactions this week. We'll get to that. 7:02. First, Heather with the news.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Wow, you're coming in.
What is happening?
Loud.
Loud. Yeah.
That's different.
That's all right.
You're good now.
Yeah, get after it. Let's
maybe
go.
Maybe I just... No, something... There's you're projecting, something different.
You're projecting well this morning.
Okay. Well, anyway, good morning. Uh-huh. There were so many celebrities in the house for the Lions game. I mean, tons of them. I saw Eminem, Barry Sanders, Simone Biles
was there.
Jimmy Fallon was
Robert
there.
Robert Porcher.
Keegan-Michael Key was there. There was a ton of people there, and you said the one I'm about to highlight. Jimmy Fallon was in the house, and he was actually there because he's shooting an on-the-road special taping of The Tonight Show. It actually marked the show's first ever visit to Detroit, which is pretty cool. And the episode, which is going to air tonight, I guess is filled with a whole lot of Detroit flavor. So you're going to want to check it out. There's mentions of Verner's and Coney Dogs. There's Jared Goff chants. There's jokes about Eminem's mom spaghetti. There's nods to Motown. There's appearance by the Detroit Pistons dancers, a cameo from Aiden Hutchinson. It sounds like it's going to be a great time. And Fallon did give a shout out to a lot of the local restaurants that he stopped at.
Wait. A Detroit Lion Hutch was able to do something and they still won?
Oh
my goodness. Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Huh. Wonder if Dan was filming another commercial last week.
Boy.
Anyway, Keegan-Michael Key is a guest on the show, along with Cade Cunningham, rapper Common. Obviously, we saw them both at the game. They were there together. Just pretty cool to see so many people in the house. It's going to be cool to see Detroit highlighted on this show as well. So check it out. The next time you head to Detroit Metro Airport, you're going to be able to play some games in a new gaming lounge.
Oh.
There's actually two new gaming lounges, and you can play Xbox, PlayStation, you can play PC or like retro games as you wait for your flight. So there's two new lounges in the McNamara Terminal. They're going to be open every day from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. They have ready-to-play games. There's Mario Kart, Fortnite, things like that.
Ms. Pac-Man?
I don't have a list, but it sounds like maybe, yeah, those retro games will be there. You do have the option to log into personal accounts and continue to play games that were started elsewhere as well. Now, it's not free. You do have to pay for this. So the lounge costs $17.99 for up to 30 minutes.
That's expensive.
Yep, $27.99 for an hour.
Yeah, but some people can't be without their games.
But some of these things you could just play on your phone.
Right.
But anyway, $45.99 for a day pass. And then there will be food and drink available as well.
That you can purchase.
Yeah. Yes, it's not provided.
Okay. When does this open up?
Soon, right?
Very soon. Yeah. I don't have an exact date, but it's
story to
sounds
follow.
Like maybe now.
Gamers that missed their flights because they were gaming.
Yes, but then they can continue gaming and maybe
Just
get their money's worth.
Yeah. For sure. Office Depot has fired a worker at one of its Michigan locations after a staff refused to print posters of Charlie Kirk for a vigil. Now, Office Depot said that it is deeply concerned by the unfortunate customer experience. They say it took place at a store in Portage. And this moment was actually captured on video, has since gone viral, generated more than 4 million views. A person recording the video can be heard telling a group of employees at the store that they came into the store earlier in the evening to pick up an order for posters to be used at a vigil. And then a woman who did identify herself as one of the store managers said, "I'm sorry, we're not able to print this for you." Her response was said, "Yeah, so we don't print propaganda." And then she just said, "I'm sorry, we don't print that here." The video goes back and forth with audio there. It has, like I said, gone viral online.
It's ridiculous.
Office Depot did release more statements saying that the behavior displayed by our associate is completely unacceptable and insensitive, violates our company policies, and does not reflect the values we uphold at Office Depot. They did apologize to that person as well. That staff member no longer works at that store, I'm guessing, is no longer going to be employed by any Office Depot. If you weren't watching sports last night, the Emmys were also on. The host, Nate Bargatze, also hyped this plan, if you didn't hear, about a plan to keep acceptance speeches shorter. So every winner was supposed to have 45 seconds. That's like what you get, right? Yeah. But of course, celebrities always go over that 45-second mark. So his plan was he donated $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club, but then he said he would take away $1,000 for every second that the winner went over. And then he would add $1,000 for every second that the winner left on the table, right? So the plan was to like create this huge.
Did it work?
No, completely didn't work. Completely backfired. In the end, it was actually negative. The donation mark
was
negative.
So they stole from the Children's Club.
They did. However, CBS did decide to donate $100,000, and then Nate chipped in $250,000. So it's the Boys and Girls Club got a lot of money, but it. The plan didn't work.
I think it's a fun stunt.
It was fun.
Nate's going to be in Detroit.
Oh, cool.
Next August. And we have tickets today to give away later in the show. So be listening for your chance to win them.
A year from now? Next August?
Yes.
Wow. Make your plans now.
he's in demand. It's going to be a Little Caesars. Anyway, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Lions fans, best part of that win, 97-1. All right, I tell you about KG Law, because if you find yourself in a car accident, you need to call Lawrence KG at KG Law. KG Law is one of the few law firms in the country specializes in car accidents only. And Lawrence KG has won millions of dollars for his clients because he fights hard, he wins, and he wins big. So don't settle. He's not going to settle from the first offer the insurance company floats out there. He's going to fight for you. If you or a friend or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law right now. That's 877-KG-CARES. Visit kgcares.com. Lawrence KG will fight for you. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Dan Miller. Lions from the jump, pouring it on. 50 burger, put up 52 points, matched a season high from a year ago. Best part? Looked like last year's offense. Mm-hmm. Explosive, balanced, ready to pile it on. And they did it against Ben Johnson.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be one of those things where, hey, Ben knows all the strengths and weaknesses of this offense. How are you going to stop it? He's going to be in there with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen should know what Dan Campbell's going to be running, and it didn't matter.
No, and look, they started out with play action, and then they worked backwards. They got the ground game going, ran for almost 200 yards, 6 yards a carry, and it was Montgomery in the end zone. It's Gibbs in the end zone. Jared Goff throws 5 touchdowns, sacked 0 times. I mean, it's everything we needed. Right after a week one loss where everything felt like it went wrong, this was a week where everything went right. And we've asked you guys to pick out not the worst. That was a week ago. Pick out the best.
Yep.
Let's get to Mike in Washington. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Victory Monday, of course.
Happy Victory Monday.
I was at the game. I'm a season ticket holder. The best part, I mean, yeah, I'd say a couple of my 2 points here is I think the best part is we looked like our old self. Yes, we did what we were supposed to do. Next week is obviously a lot different team, a lot different players. I think the best part was early in the morning when we were tailgating. We had 6 TV buses roll down Lafayette and Randolph with a good old RIP Charlie Kirk on their sign. And I think that was very respectful for the city of Detroit. And along with all the Bears fans around me, they were all joining in on the F. Ben Johnson chants. I thought that was pretty cool.
The Bears fans were joining in?
Yep. I had a bunch of Bears fans around me, and they were, from the beginning of the game, they had no confidence. They were saying, oh, we pretty much came here knowing that we were going to lose, yada, yada, yada.
They were right.
And at the end of the, and at the end of the game, I had about 6 Bear fans cheering with me, F. Ben Johnson, on that Woodward Sports.
Yeah, I mean, what I would tell you is you get these chants that carried out into the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Lions fans were fired up to see not only their team win, but it was a little bit of the energy from that first playoff win where it was like, hey, we don't need Matthew Stafford.
Right.
There was a lot of this, we don't need Ben Johnson. And they didn't. Like, John, I thought that crystallized the point that, really you have led, which is this is Dan Campbell's offense. When Ben Johnson left, clearly you don't want to lose continuity. And I think he's a sharp guy. But this was Dan Campbell's offense. He took the principles from Sean Payton. He implemented them here. At one point, called the plays. But the identity of this football team and the identity of the offense was crafted by Dan Campbell. And in week one, they didn't get any explosive plays. They didn't win up front. But this was the reassurance that it's still Dan Campbell's offense.
I think it's also the reassurance that we've watched Dan Campbell learn how to be a head coach. Where he hires Anthony Lynn, things aren't going well, so he takes over the play calling. And then the following year, he hands it off to Ben Johnson, but it's with the guidance of, this is what I expect. This is how I expect you to call the game. And it's not, you have to call this play at this play, this down a distance, on this spot of the field, on this hash. It's just making sure that the rhythm of the offense is to his philosophy.
Yes.
And I think, instead of waiting throughout an entire season to make a change, he didn't want to make a change, but I think he probably inserted himself into some of those game plan meetings that he's always been a part of, but maybe he just said, okay, here's what didn't go well. Here's how I see it. Here's what I would like to see against Chicago and moving forward.
What did you think of the F. Ben Johnson chants? They bother you? You think that was classless? You have no issue with it? You think it's part of sports?
It's part of sports. I wouldn't join in. It's not part of what I think it's. I'm not going to get all over those that were doing it.
I think it's fun. I think at the end
I'm
of the
sure
day,
you do.
I
mean,
children.
You boo kids. So yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you think it's fun.
But to me, I
figured I would see at the front of that section, you standing there with the sign, you know, 1, 2, 3.
But I don't think it's like that serious. Like, it's all through the lens of sports. No, I don't wish like personal harm to Ben Johnson, but Correct. Through the lens of, we're competing with you. F that guy. We want to blow him out. We want to humiliate him, and we want to have our best day at his expense. That's sports.
Yeah. It rubs me wrong.
I know.
And so
You're a classier individual than I am. I mean, that's, I'm not at all surprised at our difference on this. Marcus in East Point, best part of that game.
Oh, man, there was so many. I think my favorite parts were the energy from the team as a whole, which looked completely different than last week. I mean, just from the very beginning, I know being at home makes a big difference. The looks on Ben Johnson's face every time Caleb Williams did something unquarterback-like for his guys, and he almost looked like he was ready to give up already. I mean, it's surprising. And the other thing, I don't know if you guys know about this, but the ticket prices were through the roof until the Bears lost bad last week, and they just fell off. I was surprised at that. I couldn't even sell my tickets yesterday. I ended up giving them to my niece. It was a surprise. But I'm gonna. You guys made us go through how many games we think we win. I'm gonna go up to 13 now.
only see us losing to Ravens, Philly, the Green Bay game, and one other random game. I think we're going to handle Kansas City and Washington.
With Cincinnati. Yeah, like it's amazing.
Cincinnati's cooked already.
Yeah, well, Burrow's probably not playing in that game if you read the reports. Toe injury could be months.
He might be out till Christmas.
Yeah. Now, Marcus, you're right. I mean, it's amazing what a win will do. It'll put the wind in your sail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're winning all of these games and winning 13 games. This was one I thought they'd win, and they did win. But how they won, I think, was the significance.
Right, and it all goes to the futile task that it is of when the schedule comes out and we go win-loss. Like, we have no idea what injuries or what teams are going to look like, because Cincinnati, even last week against the Cleveland Browns, 17-16 win. Like, they didn't look good offensively.
Even with Burrow.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden Joe Burrow's out. And I know the game on Monday night looks as tough as it did originally, but the trip to Kansas City, like, there's just a lot of things that you learn as the season begins. And what we learned last week with the Detroit Lions, we didn't like. But now, after two games, you don't write off a season after one game. You don't write off players or coaches. You get a chance to go back out there and see, and this is one thing that we have, and I think there's a lot of people that forgot. We tried to mention it last week. Dan Campbell does not lose games back-to-back.
Well, that's one of the ticket texts we got. Lions keep their streak of not losing two in a row. This team is the real definition of grit, signed Q. Other highlights from the game. How about Tyleek Big Paul Williams? Not with one, but two swats. Good to see a rookie getting in and making an impact. Speaking of guys making an impact, the Tesla catch.
Yeah.
That was people's best part of that Lions game. Another ticket text says, wait, Davenport got hurt? That's a shocker.
It's breaking news sounder.
It's good we won't need anybody opposite of Hutch, signed Steve. Manuel and Howell, best of the Lions game.
It was great. I loved it. It put a great game, but my best part was when Golf tried to do the Lambeau leap.
Yeah.
They had to shove him into the crowd.
Oh, I know. The fans were trying to pull him up, and other players were trying to push him up as well. My favorite part of that, and I don't know, were you at the game?
No, I was not. I was watching it on TV.
Okay.
I got to rewind it and keep on laughing at it.
The kids that were in that section, I showed Heather this picture this morning. There was kind of one, like, as he was trying to get up there, and another one. The boy, the son of the family that was there, his face, his laughter was unbelievable. The daughter, you could see severe concern on her face as to whether or not Jared Goff was going to land in her lap, if he was going to make it up. It just was, that picture right there was why you take kids to football games.
It was hilarious. Yes, I got to agree with you 100%. It was funny.
He turned into like an 85-year-old man once he got into the stands, just like limp.
Yeah.
I mean, they're if Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, anybody else has a good sense of humor, at some point for the next home game, they're going to put a step stool over there.
That's funny.
But just a little tip, like, put a step stool over there, something where he could, maybe a little ladder, we call it the golf ladder.
Let him climb into the stands. A couple more ticket texts. I mentioned this one. The best part was the one-handed catch by Tesla and seeing Ben Johnson fired up and upset as they had to come back out as they tried to go in for the half. The tides turned. Lions came out in the second half on a tear to win the game. That signed Tater. We do have a ticket texter who is upset at the Ben Johnson chance. It says how the Lions fans treated Ben Johnson was horrible and it was embarrassing. Well, unpack that as the show moves along. It's 97.1.
Hey, there's nothing like Michigan. The pride, the grit, the game day energy. There's a beer that gets it. That's Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed right here in the heart of Michigan. It's crisp, light, and built for those who go all in. Whether you're tailgating in Ann Arbor or kicking back after a long day, as proud sponsors of Michigan Athletics, we're raising a cold one to the maize and blue. Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed for Michigan, built for you. Find Michigan Pilsner at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly. Yeah, he didn't get any help from the 10-year-old or the 8-year-old.
From the two little kids that were so excited and also a little scared, I think.
Jared Goff going into the stands after the Lions score yet another touchdown. It was St. Brown's third of the day. They put up 52 points in Ben Johnson's return. Whose offense is it really? We got a bunch of ticket texts. The best part of that game. Sure beats last week. We were talking about all the things that went wrong. This was a week that you needed as a fan, as a team. They needed to win this game. And the way they won the game gave you a bunch of things to react to. And some people have highlighted the leap.
Yeah, they got the top 10 on now, and Isaac Tesla this week has fallen all the way to 5 with this catch. Simply because it wasn't a touchdown.
But unlike the first week, this happened at a critical juncture. This gave him a chance to go up 2 scores at the half and demoralize the Bears, who thought they had got off the field.
Right, yes. It was that opportunity to, hey, wait a second. No. I did catch that one-handed. Feet, elbow, inbounds. Slid out of bounds. Clock stops. Now, it almost became one of those Lions lore where if they had stopped the clock like they were supposed to, they would have had 14 or 15 seconds on the clock. Instead, they don't stop it, and then there's a 10-second runoff. So now they've only got 6 seconds to score. But that's all they needed.
Could you imagine if there weren't 10 seconds left, it would have ended the half regardless. Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. Hutch blowing a kiss to the crowd was my highlight.
After his sack?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when Goff tried to jump into the wall. It was amazing to see live. Oh, yeah, if you were there.
He did that. He jumped into the wall. He just didn't jump over the wall.
Best part was the leap zone signed Laura. Yeah, people loved that.
Or if the Lions have a sense of humor, they'll come out and there'll be a little cutout for Goff. Oh. Like that would be, I think, even better than somebody putting a step stool over there.
I just think the worst part was, he doesn't have ups. He's not some great athlete, but laying limp, like just a stone figure.
Yes. They have pills for that.
John.
How about this ticket text? The best part was when we went for it on that fourth down to run up the score, Ryan and Howell.
Yeah. There's so many things when you watch that game. It was fun from start to finish.
Did you hear that Ben Johnson was asked about running up the score after the game?
Yes.
By our very own Jeff Rieger?
Yes. It's shocking that he would be over there asking him questions instead of talking to Dan Campbell.
I will say this. Rieger normally agitates his listeners. It's fun to have him agitate the other coach.
Yes.
Greg, if we could play that for people, Jeff Rieger riling up and going at Ben Johnson a little bit.
Great answers by Ben Johnson.
They were.
And I heard this last night, and as soon as I heard the voice, I'm like, oh, okay, he's just simply there to troll him.
These are fair questions.
They are fair questions. It sounds different. If there had been any other reporter that had asked him these questions, everyone else is like, fair questions. Coming from Rieger, you're like, oh, he only went over there to ask these two questions and troll him.
That's one of the big storylines. Ben Johnson's back. Rieger's all over that story. Yeah. And you do want to know, does Ben feel like they were rubbing it in? He said, no, that's what they do. Is it demoralizing? Well, look, giving up 52 points in your return to Detroit and losing handily doesn't feel good.
I'm fine. No, everything's fine.
I'm totally fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the phones. Brad in Waterford, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, John, that was a hell of a nuke by Ellie, man. Saw it on X.
Thanks, man.
He's a beast, man. Oh, boy. Hey, my favorite part was, Davenport going down. We all knew that. But I thought Muhammad played pretty darn well in his replace. I mean, he drops those hips, and he can really also set an edge. So hopefully if he keeps coming on like that, I'm not going to say that he's the answer, but I'm going to say that he really could help out that line.
Well, I mean, Brad, Al-Quadin Muhammad, that's what he did last year too. He came in and he can play technically sound. I just wish that there was a chance for him or he had another gear. Does that make sense?
Oh, total sense. I mean, you can tell that, he's kind of parochial in that gear. But I'm telling you, his technique, at least, it can enhance what Hutch does. I mean, there is sort of an answer there. I would like to see an upgrade. There's no doubt about it. Davenport played well, but we know he's a China doll. So I'm just hoping that he can improve upon what he did, because boy, just imagine if he could really give them a legitimate player over on that other side, they could be real dangerous.
Yep, that'd be a nice boost.
Absolutely. Some more ticket texters. The best part of the game was Rieger putting on a masterclass trolling performance post game.
Yeah.
Ticket texter says the best part of that game, I loved seeing them run up the score. Ben Johnson seems lost as a head coach, never liked the hire, and it's already showing, signed a Bears fan. Oh, they're turning on him.
You know what? I've got some family that lives in the Chicagoland area, and they kind of said that a little bit leading into the season, and I know that is the sentiment after two games, is he is not being well accepted with his personality and tough guy demeanor.
I would be alarmed if I was a Bears fan at how they came out in the second half. It seems like they let the play and all the confusion at the end of the half affect them. And what transpired during halftime, what was said, were they still, was the right thing said to the team to get them, hey, we got to get past this. We got a bad break.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, was there pouting?
Was there chairs being thrown?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we might find out at some point, but who knows?
Tim in Rochester. Oh. Tim, good morning.
Hey, guys.
We got you.
There we go. Hey, it was funny, that whole sequence in the first half, going back to the F. Ben Johnson chant. I mean, at first, I was, not my style. Can't say it's the classiest, but it's not going to totally upset me. However, when I saw the Bears sideline, trying to all go to the locker room and then having to see the official send them back, that's when I was like, all right, you can turn those chants back on for the entirety of the second half at this point. That to me. And then that game felt more like a Tennessee and Jacksonville last year.
Yep.
Where it was just like fourth quarter. All right. It's like watching my 3-year-old, touch something he shouldn't be playing with. We have really nice things. Let's make sure they get put away safely and move on next week.
Yeah, get nobody hurt at the end of that football game. Kick your feet up. You took care of business. You won the game going away.
Halftime, my phone was blowing up because of the, those that were in the stadium. I had asked a couple of people, hey, let me know what the reception for Ben Johnson is. Let me know some moments that happened. And my phone was blowing up because of the whole him sending his team to the locker room and then everybody having to come back out just to let the Detroit Lions score another touchdown on him. It's awesome.
Perfect. Chef's kiss. All right, we got Overreact Gyms coming up next. The football coverage is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. John's a fan.
Uh-huh.
This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight and protect the empire he has built. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.